Okay, thanks, Eric. So I want to acknowledge Madeline Leslie and Sam Bauer from the University of Minnesota. This is their work that I'm reporting on, and I'm doing my best imitation of Brian Horgan right now. So maybe that's good, maybe that's not, but we'll move forward here. So to build an outreach program, our plan calls for working with the results from the socio-marketing research to identify motivations, barriers, preferences for adopting low-input fine fescues in landscapes. But while we're just now getting that data, what we focus largely on is working with identifying delivery methods that are appropriate for delivering this particular information. And now that we're getting it, we have some ideas on how to move forward. So again, what I'll report on here this afternoon are Madeline's work looking at assessing delivery methods. Sam Bauer did a turfgrass needs assessment in 2014. He did an online survey, reached over 1,000 people, and asked some number of different questions, but the basic question that we're interested in today and today's presentation here is, how do people prefer to learn about lawn care and turf grass? And so what they were presented with was 12 different options that you see summarized here on the slide, and then they were asked to rank those as their top five. And so you can see the numbers of responses there, and I'll highlight the top five. First one with the most selections was browsing a website. The second most frequent choice was listening to an expert lecture. The third was reading. And then four was looking at a 3 to 5 minute video online. And then the fifth was watching a demonstration. And so those were the most frequent. The least frequent you can see there at the top was social media. Things like Facebook and Twitter were not what this group of individuals were interested in learning about lawn care and turf grass through those mechanisms. So Madeline used these responses here to build some premises in her research that I'll touch on as we go through here. Another thing that's pretty obvious from the literature is that education is a very important component of people's understanding about their lawn care practices and what that does to the environment. And so knowledge is critical. And then the third thing here on this slide that is also important is that one important transfer of information has been identified as neighbor-to-neighbor communications. And so that process of teaching people and passing the information along is not just people like us giving seminars and talks and doing fact sheets, et cetera, but it's that information is transferred by word of mouth amongst neighbors. Another thing that Madeline was really interested in her work was how do beliefs impact behavior? And there's this theory of planned behavior out there that talks about people's expectations about the consequences of their behavior, along with their approval or disapproval of others about that behavior, and then the perception of factors that people have that will assist or impede in them performing those behaviors. All three of those kind of interact with each other, come together, and influence people's intentions as well as their behaviors. So Madeline was very interested in looking at people's beliefs and then how does that compare with their behaviors in terms of lawn care management. Another important thing to recognize from an extension delivery standpoint is what's your target audience. And there's publications out there that indicate those who manage lawns and other landscapes inappropriately have a disproportionately negative impact on the environment. And so having a better idea of who those people out there are and being able to identify that may help us target our audiences a little better and deliver that information more appropriately. So Madeline's basic research objectives here were to assess whether or not an individual's possession of inaccurate water pathways. So she's focusing on water quality here as what are people's knowledge beliefs, and then how does that relate to what they do in their yards and their lawn care management. And then the second thing she wanted to ultimately do is to start making assessments about delivery of information. And she chose to focus on two of those five that I showed you at the beginning there. Short educational video, compared to reading online material and seeing if that made an impact on whether people would change their behavior as a result of those two media, whether it was viewing a video or reading. So she focused on the Twin Cities metropolitan area, primary lawn caretakers, a series of surveys that I'll quickly summarize here. First survey was conducted in 2014, was 26 different questions. I'm not going to go all through all those questions. I'm going to just focus on the results of those surveys. But she was looking at management practices, people's understanding of the environment, and also neighbors and the impact of practices outside of one's own property. Ultimately, she was able to recruit 303 participants in this survey. She did that through neighborhood associations, local government websites, Craigslist. After they did that survey, they viewed a video that gave them some education on impact of management practices on the environment, as well as a little bit of information about using low-input fine fescues. And then the next step was, after they had time to process that, she came back with a follow-up survey to see if people had actually done anything in response to this educational outreach. The way she enticed people to participate in this was to offer them a $50 gift card. A little bit of money always gets people to try to do something. So these are the statistical analysis techniques she used to look at that data and assess it. I don't necessarily am an expert in all these tests, but these are the things that she did. So to move into the results then of that survey in 2014, she was able to identify two basic groups. The proportions were 32% roughly had inaccurate perceptions of water pathways. And so this was her premise that she wanted to test, is what are people's beliefs, and then beyond that, what did that mean, or did it mean anything in terms of what people did in terms of their lawn maintenance practices? And so their inaccurate perceptions essentially came down to they either believe that water never ended up in local waterways, or if it did end up in local waterways, that it went through a sewage treatment system and cleaned up the water before it got there. And so they're a fairly high percentage, roughly a third of the responses, had that inaccurate perception. So then, as I mentioned, she surveyed these people for their viewpoints on how they did lawn maintenance activity. And so what I've got here is a table summarizing the frequency of these two groups, N and Y, she called them not. N is for the inaccurate perceptions of water pathways, and Y is the accurate group. And she found that there were some pretty clear statistical differences between those groups, and basically the inaccurate perception group did lawn care practices such as mowing, fertilization, watering, and pesticide use a lot more frequent than the group that had a more accurate perception of those water pathway processes. In terms of what the groups, how they reacted to the educational component, in the follow-up survey, she was looking for six different practices. I'm just summarizing three here. And these are the three that had a significant impact on the education. For those people who did not already do a beneficial practice, the follow-up survey identified roughly 19% of them started to clean up their grass clippings from the streets. Roughly 31% started to look for fine fescue seed when they were purchasing seed. And then 39% actually reduced their watering in response to rainfall, which they weren't normally doing before they went through this education. So the education that she did have some impact. In her second survey, major survey, this was a 26-question survey. She did a number of letters and door hanger reminders to over 1,500 people. She got a response rate of about 19 to 20%. 303 completed the surveys. After the survey, then they were shown, half the group was shown a video, and then the other half was asked to read some online text, educational material, and then they were questioned after that to determine whether they had any intent to change their practices. So again, Those groups were very nicely compartmentalized, and again, a third having inaccurate perceptions. This was a totally different group. I should back up and point out this was a different group of survey participants from southern Minneapolis in an area that had a lot of lakes and streams, so that there was some expectation that this group had exposure to water quality issues. Whether they had accurate ones or not, it turned out that about a third of them had inaccurate perceptions, again, of water pathways. And of those two groups, there were some very clear, distinct differences about how they perceived individual yard maintenance practices affecting others or groups of people. And you could see that the group had accurate perceptions had a much more frequent affirmative response to these questions about, do your practices impact your neighbors, the environment, yourself or your family, local drinking water supply, or water in a nearby lake or stream? And this was the big one, where the at the bottom, water in a nearby lake or stream had the greatest divergence in people's perceptions about that. Again, with the inaccurate group having the least affirmative response to that question. So out of these two groups, again, she looked at the frequency of practices, again, mowing, fertilization, watering, and pesticides. And this survey wasn't quite so clear, but there were these two basic practices of mowing and fertilization, where there was more frequent activity of people who had inaccurate perceptions of water pathways. So if you remember from the 2014 survey, she, in her follow-up work, she identified that among those who didn't already do certain beneficial lawn maintenance practices, a significant portion reported looking for fine fescue seed and reducing water after viewing an educational video. So she was able to see that there was some educational benefit from viewing a video. And then in her 2015 survey, as I mentioned earlier, she broke the group into two halves. One watched a video and one read, and her conclusion out of that work was that the reading group, interestingly, was significantly more likely to have greater intent to change lawn maintenance practices than the group that viewed the video. So, summary and conclusions of Madeline's work: a third of the homeowners in the Twin Cities metro area have inaccurate perceptions about urban water pathways, and this group performs at least some lawn and yard maintenance practices more often than the group with accurate perceptions. Education about water resources then is very likely to help promote public awareness, and in light of this project, the use of low input lawn grass species. And educationally, in her work indicates that particularly written text material rather than videos may help foster this change in behavior regarding beneficial lawn and yard maintenance activities. Future research, looking at different demographic groups. Her demographic groups, I don't have that off the top of my head, but it was largely Caucasian, a little bit older audience, as well as their property owners, and so their affluence level is relatively high. Other things to think about would be to attempt to determine if any barriers exist that might prevent lawn maintenance behavior change, and determine the type of educational material more clearly, or method more clearly, that would result in the greatest actual behavior change. So with that's Madeline's work. Very quickly, any questions or comments?